Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must-listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Hi, it's Janine Vosper here, the host of the We Are Women podcast. And today with me, I have Ali Jean. Now, Ali is a brand identity architect. Oh, I love the wording of that. She's a web designer. She does online business strategy. She's an online visibility mentor and artist who helps female entrepreneurs and small business owners to transform their dreams into a thriving business system. It's brand, message, culture, and a solution for their ideal clients. Her client outcomes are powerfully authentic, creative, caring, and importantly, unique. She excels in visual storytelling, fun global visual visibility strategies, purposeful branding, website creation, and online social media marketing. And that's also where she shines. She listens to clarify and identify her client's vision to take it to the center stage. When the entire process is complete, her clients feel excited and in full control of their message and the next steps. Ali Jean is an artist at heart. She develops projects including logo design, color palettes, and a book cover art. She uses traditional art studio processes and then she modernizes it with trendsetting techniques. Now, Ali Jean holds a bachelor's degree in fine arts and believes traditional artistic studies lend her and her clients a visual advantage and quality that sets her creative process apart. And she joins me from Michigan in the US today. Welcome. How are you this morning, Ali?
This evening for you. Thank you for having me on your show. I'm just very excited to be here and I'm having a wonderful day.
Most welcome. And we're just having a little chat before we went live and I was saying how it's sunshine here in Queensland and you've got snow already in Michigan. So it's quite a different world apart, isn't it?
It's definitely a world apart.
I have a lot of people that I've interviewed from the US and Canada in particular, and I I've traveled a lot, and I know that, you know, with the different side of the world's upside down and we have different weather, but it always intrigues me. I just love it. You know, I'm sitting here with the fan on and shorts and t-shirts.
I know exactly what you mean. I often have these like video meetings. I don't know if you've ever heard of like Zoom, but it's like Skype. And so it's video meetings and I'll be sitting with someone right in front of them and there's, you know, snow outside my window and sunshine and tank tops, you know, on their side. And it's just, it weirds me out every time. I just think, oh my God.
I know, and it does sound bizarre. I've had a few things with when I've traveled to places, I've gone, for Niagara Falls, the water just keeps coming. I know it's a bizarre thing. Didn't matter what time of day I went there, it just kept coming. It was. I've seen lots of waterfalls before, but that was impressive.
Oh my gosh, it is, isn't it?
Now, getting back on track to what we're doing, tell me about yourself, Ali.
Oh my goodness. Well, I have worked for a lot of great places such as Rolling Stone and Us Weekly. That was quite a while ago now. I'll start kind of at the beginning. I won't get too far into it, but I would like to say that when I was a little girl, I was raised by my family to believe that, you know, checking off all the boxes, going to college, getting degrees, getting certifications, working at a nice corporate company, like that was the way to go. And no matter how many checks I put on my list and cross things off, I was never happy. And I think that I always wanted to be an artist. And I know that I specialize in brand identity architecture and web design and all of these amazing, you know, things that I can do for businesses. But at heart, I think I always just wanted to live out kind of my childhood dream, which was to be creative and to have fun every single day. And that always sounded really immature and wrong. no one was advising me to have fun. I'll tell you that. And even working for a fabulous company, which I learned so much from in the publishing world, I was in marketing and sales for Rolling Stone and Us Weekly and Men's Journal. I just felt like kind of at odds with it because I knew I was supposed to be grateful for the position, but there was still something missing. And it was very hard for me to deal with. And once the big economic crash of 08 hit us really hard here in Michigan, they closed down the office. It was a satellite office here because, of course, Rolling Stone doesn't reside in Michigan. It's in New York. And I felt lost. And so for a long time, I actually just didn't know what to do. And I took lots of contract positions and I felt lost. Yeah. I mean, that is really the word for it. For so many years after that, I felt lost. And then finally, I had enough. I actually ran into an old teacher one day, and I was in the worst state that you could be in when you want to see someone you haven't saw in a long time, you know? And I thought, damn it, why do I have to see him today? I'm such a failure. And I remember him telling me, I can't believe out of all of my students that you are the one that is having so many issues. And that made me feel worse. Yeah. And he just, you know, sometimes men, they don't know the right thing to say. And I think.
It's like when someone says to you, oh, I really thought you were the one that would have won that contest right. or something. And you go, yeah, really? Yeah. But yeah, that's powerful though. It is powerful within yourself, isn't it?
It is. I don't think that I'm ever going to be able to let go of that whole experience. And I don't know that I want to let it go because it was so emotional. And from there, something sparked in me. So maybe his hard-handed response was something that I needed to hear from someone who I trusted, even though it made me cry even harder because it was so embarrassing for me to cry in front of him. And I thought to myself, I'm such a failure. And I didn't understand that failure is something that we'll experience many times throughout our life and that you can be successful and also have failure. And so at the time, it was just a very vulnerable state, but it lit a fire in me. And from that moment, literally within weeks, I was in a new position, working for a print company, doing lots of graphic design, and I was building my business, Red Unicorn Media. And I knew that I was going to finally decide to do what I wanted to do. And that was my clarity of not having a boss and knowing that there was a possibility that I could do whatever I wanted in this life, which didn't feel possible for most of my life. I mean, I always just did what everybody else told me was the right way to go. And whenever I kind of veered off, maybe I was showing my true personality, which, you know, I laugh a lot. I make jokes a lot. And in the corporate world, that's kind of frowned upon because they don't think you're serious. And so I started to believe I wasn't serious enough to be a business owner. But at that point, so much had gone wrong. I was in such a terrible state, emotionally, physically. My health was deteriorating. I was self-medicating with alcohol on a weekly basis. So that was tearing me down. And I knew that I really had only one last shot at this. And it was to believe in myself, no matter what anyone said. And I know it sounds so easy to say, but there were so many moments where, you know, parents, boyfriend, colleagues would ask me what I was up to when I was building my business in the beginning. And they just didn't seem very supportive. I'll say it like that. Yeah. And I knew that I had to just do it anyways. Like, I couldn't rely on someone to fill me with support. I actually had to support myself, and I didn't realize that I didn't know how to do that.
I often talk about not listening to dream stealers. And those people in our lives often care about us the most, fear for us and fear for our success or our failures. And they become dream stealers. And instead of getting that support that we want, as you said, you have to learn to do it yourself. And that's hard, especially when you're coming from a place where, you know, you're feeling like a failure and feeling lost. It's even harder to do that. But congratulations on taking that stand and doing that, because it's going into business for yourself. It is one of the scariest things people do, and to make it a success. I mean, a lot of people have hobby businesses, but to make it a success is a different step. But to, you know, just from somewhere in the depths, grab that belief in yourself and not listen to the others, people around you, who, again, and this may be my experience, it's just that they're in fear for you, that they're, you know, concerned about what your actions are. You've taken a great step, and to, you know, get where you are. Congratulations on that, Alan.
Thank you so much. It was definitely an experience that I'll never forget. And I talk about it all the time. I'm very open about all of it because I know how much it helps other people excel in their dreams. Because, yeah, it, you know, if you've ever seen the movie, it's Indiana Jones when he takes the leap of faith. And he has to believe that there's actually a bridge between him and this doorway that he has to get to. But all he sees is like this canyon, and he has to take the walk of faith. And I feel like that's what I did. And even though it's just opening up a business, it actually has shaped my entire future. And it's actually everything that I ever wanted. And those people that were so hard on me and felt so unsupportive were absolutely 100% so fearful that I was going to be hurt, that I was going to fail, and that they were going to, you know, watch it happen. And I don't think that they wanted to watch that happen either, because I was making a lot of mistakes, and the world had become very scary for everybody. People lost their fortunes. I mean, it was really bad back in 08, and rebuilding was, you know, I feel like here in Michigan, I mean, that sounds like a long time ago, 2008. I feel like just the last couple years, we've actually been able to say that we're rebuilt again. So it took us a while because we're the Motor City. We're like Detroit Motor City. And so we had a big car industry here, and it fell flat, man. It was really, really bad. And I'm just glad that it's repairing finally. And I'm excited to be able to. So I work always virtually. I live in the country, and I'm just outside of Ann Arbor, Michigan. We moved here. There's a whole experience of why we moved here. I lost my house because of the big crash. And we were lucky enough to be able to get into this home, which we had to rehab. And that was a big ordeal. I don't know if you've ever rehabbed a house, but it's like,
I'm married to a carpenter, and my father's a carpenter. Oh, and my goodness. Son's a carpenter, and my other son's an electrician. So, they're handy. Very handy.
They're amazing. Yeah. I remember when we were redoing everything, the contractor, he always was zaw sawing everything. And I don't know if your audience knows what a zaw saw is. I know you do, but I really got into that thing. I was like, can't you just zaw saw it? But so I got really creative here, and we were lucky enough to fall into a place that was going to protect us, but it wasn't anything that we planned. It was so uncomfortable. And now that's the past though. And I'm living in my future. And while it was only about 6 years ago that all of this happened, where we moved here, where I started my business, where I started to just support myself emotionally, it feels like a lifetime ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like 100% a different person, but I like to talk about it because I know there's so many women out there that struggle with the idea of not having enough money to start a business, not having enough support from their husbands or their wives, or it's kind of devastating how many people have their dreams crushed because they let that happen, because it takes so much strength to just do it yourself. And I think that a lot of people don't realize how you do have to, ultimately you are in it alone. You can't look for someone to give you all the gold stars. I mean, it starts to happen, but in the beginning it's quite rough.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. It is one of the hardest things to do is that self-belief and that know that from that you're going to have what you want. And I couldn't help but, you know, feel for you when you're talking about that level of expectation on you. And I know within the US there is more of that expectation of going to college as part of it. You know, that's your career path. There's larger corporations there. So going to, you know, work in corporate, it's just the stepping stones through. Whereas here in Australia, there's not as much emphasis. It's becoming a little bit more so on a more formal university education. Ours are done differently rather than colleges. They're college and then university, they're universities. But there's more of that opportunity to find, you know, what you want to do and then do it, especially in 2018. That the opportunities for the different types of jobs now didn't exist in 2008. It's just what you're talking about. You know, what exists now, the scope of occupations, we can't even imagine what's going to be out there in the future again. So, you know, that whole programmed, this is what you must do, is, I talk about a subject called spiral dynamics. It's very much that blue thinking. It's this step, this step, this step, this step. Whereas just stepping out of that is very difficult to do it when it's programmed for you as a child all the way through. This is what that expectation is. But I think part of it is that journey as well from you, for you, for where you are now. I think that's, tell me if I'm wrong, Biff, is that the journey has got you to here. You had to go through that stuff to realize the importance of where you want to be. Am I right?
You're right. I wouldn't want to go through it again, though.
No, not understandable.
But you're right. I don't think I would be the woman I am today had I not experienced all of it, just all of it. And it was extremely difficult for me to conform and to meet expectations that were not right for me. So I'm like very free-spirited. I'm super artistic and creative. I have an extreme rebel side to me, which works for me as a business owner. But, you know, in my former, you know, life where I was working for corporate positions and all my beliefs were kind of down those roads, I just never met the expectations of my bosses and I never met the expectations of everyone in that world. And it's so funny how now the corporate world seems to be turning into something like evolving into exactly what I'm talking about here. And it would fit me now. And it just makes me laugh. You know, I see people, the corporate world is actually wanting someone like me to come into their place and shake things up. So it's very interesting to see how the corporate world, at least here in America, is reshaping itself and opening its eyes and arms to being more open and creative and visible and relaxed.
Mm. You know, just kinda, very much the same here as well. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's an interesting aspect. I'm like, geez, it could have happened when I was, you know, in that. But that's how life goes. And I know that everything has really happened so that I could be who I am today and live out my purpose. And that's one thing that was, I guess, purpose, you know, that when you don't have your purpose figured out, it's sort of like living in a nightmare. And I don't know how many people are talking about this, but it's that serious. It's to the point where you're either depressed and, you know, self-medicating like I was. And that was really bad. Like, I literally had to get sober. And I didn't even realize that it was that I was having a problem, you know? So because I, you know, no one really, you know, everywhere you look, there's alcohol. So you can go to the kiddie play place down the street and they're serving beer and pizza. It's just, it's everywhere. And so for me, I just thought, yes, I don't feel good. I don't feel comfortable. I'm just going to have a drink. I'm going to have a glass of wine or whatever it is. And it just turned into a habit, right? And I started to deteriorate very quickly back then. And had I not gotten sober, I would never have had the strength to pull myself out of that depression and that kind of like purposeless life that I was living. I really had given up at one point, and it was really sad. And I think a lot of people are going through that. And it doesn't feel as though you have enough money. I mean, it's like everyone that is not living their purpose always kind of grabs at that whole money game in their head. Well, I can't do my dream because I don't have enough money. I started Red Unicorn Media with zero. My first sale was $75 before it was taxed. Last year, I finally got to six figures. I was like ecstatic. And I have no idea what this year is going to bring. I'm still doing the numbers. We still have a couple months left. And next year is going to be even bigger. So, you know, from $75, just newly sober and depressed and, you know, feeling lost and not having support and feeling purposeless to that within such a, you know, it's been 6 years. So that's really not that long of a time to do a huge transition.
No, and absolutely. And that's one of the things that a lot of women, when they're getting into business, don't realize. It does take time as well. You know, you've come from, you know, as you said, a zero base and having to get sober and to overcome those sort of demons, as well as the financial business and that sense and finding a sense of belief in yourself. But to build a business isn't an overnight. There's very few overnight successes. We just hear about them on the media. That's all. Most people need a set amount of years to put the work in and put the work in and put the work in, and to do it right and to get coaches and learn how to do it right. That's one of the biggest fat mistakes people make, is not getting coaches or mentors who can help them along the way. And that changes through each step of our growth as well. But to be aware that it takes time to do things. I know I've moved from, I was still working in as a general manager, which you'd probably call a vice president of a business, until the end of June. And I worked in that role full-time and then part-time, and have been working in my business for 10 years part-time in my Speech Perfect business. And then from the end of our financial year, the end of June, I've shifted into my business. Now I have to create a full-time income from what was a very part-time business as well. So it's going to take time. And I've been a little bit impatient, as I'm known to be, when everybody expects better results than that. Yeah. But it's been a big lesson for me the last couple of months, is that it takes time to develop it. And as long as it, you know, continue getting coaching, as I always done, but also putting the work in as well.
Absolutely.
So I think that I'm glad you brought that up, because that's a really important lesson for women moving into business. Just have faith that it's going to happen if you do those things.
Yeah, I mean, I always tell everyone that I work with, or when I'm, you know, live on Facebook or, you know, doing any kind of show, it's like, you're impatient. I get that, right? Everybody is. I'm impatient. We're always going to have something like a goal we're looking towards completing, and we just want it done now. I mean, that's just how women are. Like, we're just ready to move forward. And well, P.S., I never would have been able to do all of this without coaches. You know, I wasn't really alone. I always had support. But the thing is that I see this in women all the time who are trying to grow their business, is that they're impatient, and then they finally give in, and they're like, okay, I'm going to, you know, do brand identity, and I'm going to work with Allie on this, and we're going to do a website, and we're going to talk about visibility, or maybe they're going to work with a marketing and sales professional, or, you know, whatever it is. And then they test it out for about a month. And they decide that it's not right for them. And I think to myself, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Because I still have things that I am experimenting with and getting results from before I make the big decision that have been going on for years. I mean, a lot of stuff doesn't take that long, but I always say, like, if you're working with, you know, maybe it's a technical thing, like a new piece of software or a new marketing or sales strategy, give it at least, you know, 3 to 6 months before making a big decision. And even then, depending on what it is, you may not have given it enough time and effort. I also see a lot of women in, you know, really smart women. I mean, I've done the same thing where you hire someone who is amazing and you're excited, and then you put all of the decision making into their lap, period, because they're the professional. And this really bugs me, because you're you know, people who do this, and we've all kind of done it at some point or another, we're not taking responsibility. So while I'm not asking someone to learn how to, for instance, design their own website because they're hiring me to do that, I want them to be part of the process and really get into it and understand what we're doing, and not just have, you know, I like this thing they have on the web all the time and email marketing and stuff, done for you package. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, so they're going to implement everything that they think that you want. And basically you end up with something that's literally in your business that's supposed to be, you know, creating success for you, that has none of your pure, you know, essence of who you really are. It's theirs. Someone just injected their business into your business and you paid for it. So it's really important to take responsibility and to be involved in all of the decision making, you know, even when it's something that you feel like you don't have professional experience with. You, if they're not willing to give you that leeway to answer questions or be a part of the process, I always advise to not invest with that kind of person, whether it's a coach or anything. You know, be a part of it. Take responsibility.
Yes, and that's absolutely. I totally agree with you on that point, because I mean, there's things that I'm doing. I've got some training coming up on some Facebook marketing. Now, that's not my thing at all, but I need to know how to do it. Yeah. Even if I get somebody else to do it for me, and at some stage I need to know, you know, the strategies behind it, and as well as the way to do it, but particularly those strategies. But for your industry, for branding, I can't imagine handing that to somebody else without some input into who you are and how that reflects you, because so much in 2018 and 19, which may go to air next year, is that we want to deal with somebody.
Yes.
That we go searching now. If we want to buy something, we go search online for it. That's really what most people do, or they go and search for information about it online, and then they'll, you know, then make contact with the company or the person themselves. But they want to get to know you as a person, not just some testimony that somebody's given, or not just you selling something, but it's who you are. And if your marketing and the whole brand identity doesn't reflect that, then you've got this incongruency between who you're trying to be and who you really are. And that just doesn't work. We're too savvy now. We won't. Some people may not notice what's wrong, but they'll notice they're not comfortable.
Exactly. There's like this energetic. I believe that every business kind of has an energy to it, and people can tell when something's off, or that you're just not there. I mean, I remember it was like probably 4 years ago where a lot of coaches out there were just letting someone just make it all look beautiful. Like they're all millionaires, you know? And at a certain point, it all kind of fell apart for a lot of them because we noticed, we felt that energy. It wasn't authentic. And I know a lot of people are sick of hearing the authentic word, but it's a great word and we all understand what it means, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I always advise people to really get out there and get visible. So one of the things that kind of came out of my whole brand identity and web design business was all of the things that I had a really hard time with. I decided to put it on display. And I've created a course out of it. I have a group on Facebook called Visibility U. But basically, a few years ago, I started to teach people about Facebook Live and just how to really put yourself out there, whether it's through writing, blogs, email marketing, even just normal posts on Instagram or Facebook or, you know, wherever you are. Maybe you're on Twitter or maybe you're on LinkedIn. It doesn't matter, but feeling the sense of power in that you are being 100% authentic and that you're okay to kind of grow in front of the world. And I love saying that because I was scared to grow in front of the world. I, for one, being the fancy graphic designer, immediately wanted to put up lots of fabulous graphics and website and logo for Red Unicorn Media so that everybody would just see that and think that I was important and think that I knew what I was doing. And I started to realize, why do I want people to think when I actually know? And why don't I want people to know who I really am? I really thought that if people knew who I really was, that they would, again, this comes, so it's all mindset all the time, comes from my past in corporate, that they weren't going to think I was serious enough and therefore would never invest in me. And I think we all, no matter what you're selling, whether it's products or services, we have like this problem with our mindset, and it goes back to things that have nothing to do with our business. And therefore, it affects our visibility in every aspect of running a global company. So it's been an interesting ride, and I totally have 100% transparency about everything I do because it teaches others to just do it. And I think that's the most fun that I've had since opening the company is really just seeing other women shine because I released some kind of, you know, vulnerable or sensitive data about me personally or my business. Maybe I failed in some kind of marketing aspect last year and I reveal it to them and I let them know what happened and what I'm going to do about it. But a lot of people want to be just picture perfect and it causes so much stress and it doesn't get them to where they want to be as fast as they could.
No, and it's very brave to be vulnerable like that and opening up like that. But I think, you know, that it is important, and particularly, you know, it builds a story as well, as you said, you know, sharing things that didn't work and but what you're going to do about them to get them to work as well. And that's actually a good lesson because it does a couple of things. It shows your level of expertise that you can change up things. Okay, well, that didn't work. Let's look at some creative ideas or to do something differently. So it shows that you're not always perfect, but you're still an expert in that field. So it's a good marketing thing as well. But it does open you up for people to go, well, you know what? If she's failed in that, I can give myself a bit of a break because we're not always going to get it right all the time. We have a thing in Australia, which is unfortunate, called the tall poppy syndrome. And I've mentioned this before with some of my American guests because it's really quite different. It's then if we in Australia, if you keep putting your hand up as an expert, as a I am so good, look at me, I'm absolutely wonderful, then you'll be knocked down very quickly. It's rather than I had someone give a good example the other day. If you get a brand new BMW, you know, you wouldn't drive it around the block here. You would pick it up late in the afternoon and you'd sneak it into your garage. Yeah, truly. Whereas I know in the US you'd go get it first thing in the morning and you drive it around everywhere going, you know,
that's so different here. I mean, you would definitely absolutely just get in your car and drive around and show off.
I know. And that's our tall poppy syndrome. So it is quite different, but showing that level of vulnerability, that obviously works everywhere. It doesn't matter where you are.
Yeah, I mean, and it's really when I finally gave up on looking perfect. I mean, I just thought, you know, I'm far from perfect. Like it made me feel like a fraud to never talk about who I really was. And so I actually started by just letting people know that I was super interested and have been collecting crystals and fossils my entire life. And I started talking about that and I started just opening up, and it sounds very small, but it helped me begin to not only get over the whole professional and, you know, I'm an expert and everything's business, 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 but it helped me to really understand how to build relationships online and to attract an audience that I love. You know, I mean, I adore my audience now. You know, over all the social media platforms, it's about 30,000, my entire audience. And I'm like, what? I remember I did that earlier this year and I couldn't believe it. And I love them. I know some of them probably, there's always part of your audience that is not really active or they probably don't even know who you are, but a lot of them do. And I even get messages from people saying, gosh, I remember when you first came out on the scene and you were scared to talk about this or you seemed vulnerable and I've been following you this whole time. And I think to myself, wow, you have? It's amazing. Like, the whole experience has been so wonderful, and it all started with just revealing who I really was. And sometimes I reveal things that are very vulnerable, like my drinking problem and overcoming that. And sometimes it's just me saying, hey, like I look at these quartz crystals that I dug up in the Ozark Mountains, you know, and these are just little examples, but I always advise people to grow in front of the world and to stop waiting until everything's perfect. Even with the campaigns that I run with my clients, I say, no, don't wait until we're done. Start sharing the experience in the journey from the very beginning. Talk about it. As soon as the logo's done, share it and let them know your thoughts. Let them know what's happening in your life, why you're doing it, and what's happening in the future. Don't wait for everything to be so perfect. Because then you're just going to add, you know, what, 6 to 12 months to the outcome of what you're building when you could have just started talking about it the day you hired me. I mean, literally. I can't understand how people want to just hide all of the things that they're working on. I think that it all matters. And I think that when you start to write about it, it's so powerful and it makes the process go faster somehow. I've noticed that too. Like when I write things down, it's like they happen. Even if I forget about them and find them like months later, I think, oh my God, I did complete that goal because I wrote it down.
Yeah, and that's really good advice to do that and to share the journey. I haven't sort of thought about that before, but that absolutely makes a lot of sense to do that. Yeah, and just we've been talking about lots of other things other than branding, which has been really good fun. But if you ideas on something, if you get a client, what are the first couple of things that you'll say to them about their branding, so that the listeners can go, all right, I need to be thinking of that?
Well, I think that the first thing that they have to figure out is really where they're at with their audience. A lot of people that I come across or that invest in Red Unicorn, they don't even have an audience, and they don't realize that that's the first part of your brand identity journey, is really to start to delve into who you really are and what the vibe is of your business, or what you want the vibe to be. Maybe you're not there yet, you know, and you're like, well, I wish the vibe was this. My vibe for my brand, for instance, is real. It's like retro. It's very sexy and fun. When you see imagery or anything about it, it's inspirational in a very fun way, you know. And I think that's one of my soul attributes is fun. And so I think that when I talk to my clients, I want to understand what are some of your soul attributes? Like, what is very important for you and it makes you feel good? And I know, you know, every single day I wake up, it needs to be fun, even if it's about accounting or, you know, something that I may not be super excited about. Of course, I love money, but accounting can get a little hairy, right? Like, I'm like, that's not my area. That's kind of shadow work for me. But I want to make it fun. So how can I make it fun? Maybe I start, you know, playing some, you know, old music from the 90s, you know, and I'm just, you know, get lots of bright lights in my room. And, you know, that's my kind of vibe. And what I learned is that part of me, even though that isn't necessarily seen at a certain point by my clients and potential customers, it's something that is so important in the brand itself. And it starts to, when you understand those emotions behind your company, then it starts to shape the visuals. And I always think of the visuals, you know, this might help someone who's starting off. I always think of the visuals with emotion and color first. So I don't go looking at logos. I don't want you looking at logos. I don't want you looking at other people's brands. I want you to delve deeply into what, if you were to look at every tone and every color in the world and it was right in front of your face and you could just put your finger on it and choose it, what would you intuitively start to pick? Stop thinking about all of these, like, you know, marketing 101 and do this and do that. And this is what this color means. But by all means, do choose intuitively a color scheme that you just feel drawn to. And then I take it really slow and I don't start with the normal kind of brand identity experience that most people go through. So we really start with color because it's so powerful. And for instance, you know, red is like my alter ego. So Red Unicorn Media, there's a lot of meaning behind it. But if we're going off color, that's literally the only color in my branding right now. But it's my alter ego color. It's that energy of how I felt maybe when I felt success or hope, or maybe when I was a teenager and I thought, oh my gosh, you know, this is who I'm going to be. And I was always like really into Marilyn Monroe, and there's a whole story behind that. But, you know, these are the things that I delve into that seemingly have nothing to do with my business that has created and is like, it's like my legacy is being created by things that seemingly have nothing to do with it. So Marilyn Monroe, red lipstick, right? Red is sexy. Red is high vibe. Red, it has lots of energy. And that's my alter ego. That's the other side of me. And I think that when I brought it out into my brand identity, it just felt so right. And it felt exciting. And it drove me to want more, to do more, to be more. And I think that that's what your brand identity should do also, is not just teach and kind of share who you really are, but also to impress you, to make you feel like, hey, look at this, like, look at my company, like, to be proud to have all of, you know, that around you. And then to understand that there's a whole emotional factor. I think your brand identity is like a whole nother person. I mean, it's you, but it's like you on, I hate to say it, but you on steroids. It's that alter ego. It's everything that you've ever wanted. and more, and it's brought out visually. But like you said earlier, not to go on and on about it, but like you said earlier about what was it? Oh, that thought just floated out of my brain.
Whatever earlier was brilliant, we'll just leave it at that, okay? And that's something too that I'm just being mindful of time here too, but that's something that it can change as well, that identity or that connection over time as you develop and change and as your business develops and change as well. I know with mine, the styling was different than what it is now. I've kept with the same colors and that, but the style looks different than it did when I first started 10 years ago. And that's evolved over the time, but all of the colors and it's changed, but the sort of the energy behind the brand has changed over that time as well. Yeah. So that happens, doesn't it?
Oh yeah. I mean, you know, a lot of people think they're going to get the logo. I mean, it's possible that you'll get the classic Coca-Cola logo. I mean, this is what I strive for. And that's why when I'm really going through strategy sessions with my clients, I really want to get to know them so deeply. And it's probably an experience that a lot of people aren't used to, but I want to know them on a level where I feel like I've known them for years so that I can truly understand that energy and create hopefully their Coca-Cola logo or their Pepsi logo, where it's, you know, something that only needs tweaking throughout the future. But a lot of people I meet have had, you know, they're not there. They've had logos done, they've had branding done, and it just doesn't feel like them. And so we do a huge revamp and a refresh. Mm-hmm. But most brands do evolve. For instance, mine evolved, the logo didn't evolve, but the color palette evolved. I have, you know, a lot of imagery of retro women, Marilyn Monroe, sometimes the occasional unicorn, which makes sense. Yeah. and that has brought in a whole nother aspect to the brand identity visually. But, you know, it's not just visuals. I mean, like everything we were talking about earlier, that all matters. That's all part of your identity. People want to know who you really are. And you can express that visually when you understand it and you're finally comfortable, you know, revealing just you as a woman and you as a woman business owner. I mean, just sharing not everything. You don't have to tell the world your secrets, but, you know, being open enough to not have to feel like you have to delete a post every time you write one.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, we've got about 2 minutes to do the three takeaway points that I like to add at the end. And look, we've covered so much, and it just was, you know, just really interesting concepts and ideas and the belief in yourself. But if you had to sort of summarize the three takeaway points, what would they be, Ali?
So number one, life will always throw curveballs. It doesn't stop once you become successful. So don't wait for life to be perfect for you, or you'll never get to where you are going.
Perfection is something that I talk about to people. It's never attainable. What is somebody's definition of perfection?
Right.
It, mathematics is about the only thing where you can have the right or perfect answer, whereas everything else is just somebody's just opinion of something, of what's perfect. So yes, totally agree. There's nothing perfect. Just go do it.
Absolutely. And then just be okay growing in front of the world. That's my main message I put out all the time. It's the hardest thing that I had to get over, and it was the best decision I ever made.
Yeah, that's right. And that's something that I'm going to really consider too with different things that I'm doing. Because as you mentioned, you know, you talked about crystals. I do a lot of healing and do different modalities of healing, and I've done crystal and energy work, and I even do readings and that. But I'd say 98% of my clients would not know that unless they've come to me for that. So it's quite a different aspect of what I do. But Yeah, it's something that obviously I, it's good to put out there as well as the development of everything I do business-wise. Well, and number three, Ali.
I would say this is what was the hardest for me to kind of grasp personally that led into my professional mindset was the world will believe in you once you believe in you. So
that's powerful. Yeah. And that's something that's got to come from inside, isn't it? That self-belief. And I teach people on being fearless, and there's certain things that you can do that. But, you know, gaining that self-belief is, as we said earlier, is blocking out other people and just realizing that if you it's up to you. It's that simple. It's up to you. There can be people there in a cheer squad or not, but it's up to you 100%.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So the world will believe in you once you believe in you. So tell me how people can get in touch with you and how they can work with you too, Ali.
Absolutely. The best way to reach me is to go to redunicornmedia.com. There you can book a call and you can meet with me to get a free consultation. All my social media is there. There's ways to contact me by email. I'm all over social media, so you can find me pretty easily. But definitely visit redunicornmedia.com.
Yeah, and it's Ali Jean with an A-L-L-E-Y-J-E-A-N if everyone's looking for it on the social media, as well as the redunicornmedia.com. Look, it's been just a really lovely conversation, and getting to know you and getting to, help other people understand that things just happen. And then, I'm a big believer that sometimes the universe or God, as we choose to our own beliefs, will give us little slaps along the way and we don't pay attention to them, and then eventually gives you one big whack and you can't avoid paying attention to it. But it's often the chance that gives you the opportunity for the biggest growth, and it seems that that was what happened with you, Ali.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I definitely got a big slap in the face of growth.
And now you listen to all the little prompts.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me on the show, Janine. I just had a wonderful time talking with you today.
It's been most wonderful. Thank you, Ali. And again, if anyone wants to get in touch with Ali, it's redunicornmedia.com, and Ali Jean is A-L-L-E-Y-J-E-A-N. Of course, all the contact information will be on the course notes when it goes live, either on the website or directly through however you download. And that's another episode of the We Are Women podcast. You can get in touch with me, your host, Janine Vosper, by going to janinevosper.com. And please let me know what you think about the podcast as well. It's always great to get feedback. If you go to my website, there's free downloads on overcoming barriers to success in business, and just check it out and see what's on there. And give me an email, and we can have a chat as well online. That I will look forward to you joining me on the next episode of the We Are Women podcast. Bye for now.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.